Our next presentation, I would like to introduce Andrew Hunter. He is Facebook's News Partnerships Lead for Australia, New Zealand and North Asia. In that role, he is leading Facebook's collaboration with Australian news organisations. It, of course, has been an incredible topical issue. Andrew began his career as a local news reporter, and he's worked in newspapers and magazines and digital newsrooms, of course. He also co-authored the book All Your Friends Like This, which looks at the relationship between the news industry and social networks. Get your questions ready to send through to Andrew. He is going to speak for a little while, and then we certainly will have time for a Q&A, because I realise that we've been talking a lot about Facebook and Google, and it is terrific that we are actually going to be able to speak to the leading entities from these companies during this summit, because it is going to the heart of the conversation that we're having about where journalism goes in the region. So, Andrew, over to you.
Yeah, so I'll just kick off. So much has changed at Facebook during the past 6 months. One thing in particular, and perhaps one of the biggest changes, is that our overall business name has changed to Meta. And that's to signal our intent to build for the metaverse. Perhaps more immediately relevant to this audience is that we have also started hiring journalists to program news on Facebook. So I'm just wondering whether people can see my screen. I'm hearing that you can't see my screen.
Andrew, I'm sorry, we can't see your screen. Can you hear me, Andrew? It's Lisa here. We can't see your screen.
Okay.
No. One tip. I love it that someone who works for Facebook and spends their life online is, yeah, we're having a look.
There we go.
Now. That's great.
There we go. Thank you. Thanks for letting me know. So, yeah, as I was saying, we've had journalists join Facebook to program news on the platform. Journalists from the likes of Bloomberg, ABC, the Australian Financial Review, Seven, as well as MSN have joined to pick the top stories of the day or curate the top stories on Facebook News, which is our new and separate place for high quality news on the Facebook app. We launched Facebook News in August last year, along with the Australian News Fund with the Walkley Foundation. And these are the two of the bigger investments that we've made of their kind anywhere in the world. Today I'd like to share some insights from these projects with you. These are two projects that have injected millions of dollars into the Australian news industry, including rural and regional operations. But first, I'd just like to introduce the Meta News Partnerships team. So our director for Asia Pacific is Angelique Kapoor. I look after Australia and New Zealand and North Asia, and looking after our Australia and New Zealand publishers, we have Jenny Ryle, Sasha Edwards and Nicola Wood. It's our job to connect the news industry with Meta and to enable opportunities with products and programs that help newsrooms produce, distribute and fund news content on and off our platform. So just to talk a little bit more specifically about what we do in news partnerships, we support the industry in three broad ways. So first of all, we help newsrooms reach and engage new audiences on the platform. And really what that means in effect is that a lot of traffic is coming from Facebook to the news websites. An example of that is our work with Facebook News. We also provide tools to help publishers monetize their presence on Facebook. An example of this is our video ad program, where we pay a majority of net revenue share to those publishers that publish video content on Facebook. And thirdly, we support newsroom sustainability through programs, innovation funds, and commercial deals. Underpinning all of this is our commitment to integrity on the platform and our third-party fact-checking program, which is across the globe and now has 80 fact-checkers working across 60 different languages. So in August last year, we launched two projects that go to the heart of our collaboration with the news industry. One of those was Facebook News. And just before I get into that, I'll talk briefly about how news gets on the platform. So we don't scrape news publisher websites to curate content on Facebook. The news content on Facebook is, the vast majority of it is posted directly by news publishers. Not all news providers choose to use Facebook, and news content constitutes about 4% in total of total views of content on the platform. So Facebook News is a separate place to access high-quality news on Facebook. It's a personalised news experience on the app, and it was built and devised to give people the important stories that affect their lives. We're prioritising news stories that inform readers with original reporting, diverse perspectives and topics that are relevant to their community. It's powered by more than 200 national pages and hundreds of local pages. And what you will see at the top of the app is our stories that are curated by our curation team. At the top stories of the day, the most relevant. And then underneath that, there's a feed of highly personalised news that is based on interest and location. We also give the user the opportunity to see more or less from a particular publisher as well as in-app feedback mechanisms that that help improve the product. So how is Newsfeed different to Facebook News? They both sound similar, but they are quite different. So Newsfeed is the core of the platform. It's powered mostly by content from friends and family, and the experience is optimized for meaningful social interactions between users and those interactions with the content on the platform as well. There is public content, which includes news pages in Newsfeed, but we only show that public page content that people follow or their friends and family share within their network. Whereas Facebook News is a destination that's powered by Australia's news publishers. As I said before, it is curated, and that's an important difference, curated by people. It also surfaces publications that you might not otherwise follow. So it is an opportunity for news brands or mastheads to get in front of people on Facebook who might not otherwise be encountering their content on a regular basis. Our partners at launch included the majority of publishers who are producing the lion's share of public interest journalism in Australia. And this included ABC, Seven, including Seven's local WA mastheads, most of the Nine stable, including Nine News, The Age, The Sydney Morning Herald, The Financial Review. We also have The Guardian, News Corp, Crikey, The Saturday Paper, and Australian Community Media, among others. But any news publisher who has a page on Facebook, their content can appear in Facebook News. And what we've seen so far is that the majority of interactions or the majority of engagement that has come from people in Facebook News is from people who aren't necessarily following that masthead's page. So again, it reinforces that idea that this is a place where people can come and see news from brands and mastheads that they might not otherwise encounter. So curation is an important part of this experience. In research, people told us that they wanted to see both personalised stories or personalised news, but also the really important stories of the day. And we understand the limitations of algorithms empowering this type of experience at Facebook. Machines are good at many things, but when it comes to choosing a story based on context, these subtle factors like context, sourcing, and language, we realised we needed experienced journalists for that job. So the curation team picks stories based on a set of criteria and guidelines that sit both across topic selection and article selection. So one of the first things they look at is how prevalent the story is. How widely is this topic being presented or or curated across the mastheads of our publisher partners. And they look at not just the websites, but also at mobile alerts and the social presences of those publishers. They also focus on diversity in terms of topic selection, including publishing a wide range of publishers in Facebook News as well. And then when it comes to article selection, we're really looking to preference those publishers who get the story first. So if it's an exclusive for a particular publisher or masthead, if they get the story first or it's they've broken the news, we will prefer that version of the story. We also prefer the story that has on-the-record sourcing and on-the-ground reporting. So what's the team learnt so far? Well, the lessons so far are that news you can use is highly engaging. So these are the types of stories where complex information or government information is summarised and clarified so that people can use that information to kind of go about their business. A good example is what's the COVID-19 status today so I can understand how I'm going to go about my day. Human connection is really important. This, of course, is not unique to Facebook News. Most journalists from most newsrooms understand that human stories that have an emotive element, are more likely to be engaged with. A good example that we've seen on Facebook News was the story of missing WA girl Cleo Smith that found a very wide audience on the news tab. Off-field colour beats on-field description and analysis, and we saw this in the Ashes where the day's play, coverage of the day's play, while it was, you know, fairly widely read, some of the most engaging stories were things that happened off the field. Or after the play. A really good example of this is when Pat Cummins paused the celebrations with the Ashes urn in Hobart to welcome Usman Khawaja back into the fold for the photos. And then finally, regional insights are really important. So the contributions of our regional publishers are really helpful in engaging urban audiences on stories of national significance that they might not otherwise be engaging with too deeply. So I think, you know, good examples of this that we've seen are ongoing natural disasters, topics like the availability of rapid antigen tests in regional areas. So we recognise the importance of media diversity and also that rural and regional newsrooms need to be supported in their digital transformation. For this reason, we've established several innovation funds and programs that invest in publishers who, for whatever reason, a commercial deal with the platform wasn't quite the right fit. These mostly focus on supporting publishers as they diversify their revenue streams so that they can continue to fund the important work of their journalism. In 2022 and beyond, we have a number of programs. These are three of the bigger programs that we're running. So, in conjunction with the Walkley Foundation, we have the Australian News Fund. Country Press Australia is overseeing an Innovation and Sustainability Fund. And then we have our Global Accelerator Program, which really focuses on subscription and growing subscription and membership revenue. So just looking at the Australian News Fund, it's actually cut into two or sectioned off into two funds. Both have an investment of $2.5 million per year from Meta that are going towards, on the newsroom sustainability side, they're really going towards technology investments and other types of projects that will drive reader revenue, or drive revenue for those newsrooms and continue to power those newsrooms, hopefully after the funding has finished. And then the Public Interest Journalism Fund is funding directly journalism projects. A lot of the projects that we are funding are for newsrooms covering underserved communities. Just looking at the Newsroom Sustainability Fund, we've had 70 applications. Of those 70 applications, we have had all the successful projects were for regional newsrooms. More than half have gone to regional or rural newsrooms. Some of them are Indigenous-led or are covering Indigenous topics. We're funding some innovative subscription models. We're also funding some white night operations where new operators are going into markets that incumbents have withdrawn from through the COVID-19 pandemic. We're also focusing or putting funding into those newsrooms who are focusing on younger audiences. Public Interest Journalism Fund, that received 21 independent journalist applications and 74 from news organisations. Just under half that funding has gone to regional or rural news organisations, and about a third is going to independent journalists. The types of topics that we are funding, just to give you an example, there are some new reporting series around topics such as climate change, the emergence or the economic emergence from the COVID-19 pandemic in rural areas, as well as Indigenous issues. So what's next for us? Well, next month, along with the Walkley Foundation and Country Press Australia, we are going to announce the successful applicants for both of those respective funds. For the accelerator, the Global Accelerator, so far over the past few years, we've really focused on the acquisition of paying readers through memberships and subscriptions. In 2022, we'll also be looking at churn or reducing churn, you know, which means retaining paying readers. So we think that'll be interesting. All of these are important collaborations with the news industry in Australia, and much of the benefit from these projects will flow to rural and regional newsrooms. We think it's really important that newsrooms outside the major metropolitan areas are supported, you know, into the medium to long term, so that they can continue to do the important job of telling the stories of their communities. Really looking forward to updating everyone on these projects when we have more information. That's it from me. Thanks very much for having me, and open to some questions.
Thanks very much, Andrew. And we will be getting to a few questions from the audience initially, but I just wanted to first of all say, look, Facebook and Google do deserve credit that there are more entry-level jobs at the moment. There is more training going on. We can certainly see the difference that the contribution has made from the companies like Meta and Google. The reality is, though, you were forced towards it with the News Media Bargaining Code. In the US over the last couple of days, both companies have been arguing to US authorities that this situation here in Australia shouldn't be replicated. So it does make me wonder, how committed are you to what's going on in Australia? What will the relationship look like in 5 years, the relationship that you have with the media here in Australia?
Thanks for that question. I think you know, our commitment is earnest and is meaningful and is very large in Australia, and it extends over 3 years for most of our commercial deals, as well as these funds that we're investing in. So I think it's a substantial and meaningful commitment to Australian news media. It hasn't happened in a vacuum. We have been investing in Australian newsrooms for a long time, since at least before I started, which was 2017, when we established the Facebook Journalism Project, which is now the Meta Journalism Project. We ran our accelerator in 2019, which drove $7 million in customer lifetime value for a whole lot of Australian and New Zealand newsrooms. So our collaborations with the Australian news industry have not just kind of arrived out of nowhere. This is something that we've been working on for a long time, and we remain absolutely committed to supporting Australian newsrooms. And I think particularly rural and regional newsrooms that are in the midst of digital transformation and need the support.
Are the smaller publishers getting a fair hearing because they don't have the bargaining power of the bigger ones? And coming from a newspaper that you used to be able to pick up and buy that is now digital only in the regions, I know that they've struggled to be heard to try and get some of this funding pie.
So our investment in those newsrooms, we've invested in commercial deals with some publishers who have rural and regional newsrooms. We've also made this $15 million investment in the Australian News Fund that's being administered by the Walkley Foundation, as well as our Country Press Australia Fund that's covering 170 newsrooms across rural Australia. So we think that we have engaged in good faith with smaller publishers across Australia. And also, you know, these are where some of the great stories are coming from as well. We understand that, you know, that rural and regional stories are just as important as those stories from urban areas and major metropolitan areas. And that's why we've made this substantial investment in rural and regional journalism.
Hey, Andrew, thanks for joining us. We've run out of time, unfortunately, but really appreciate it.
Thanks very much for having us or having me. It's been fantastic and, yeah, really enjoyed the day so far and hope it continues.
Thanks. Well, not too much in the way it started because I had major technical difficulties. I don't want to relive that at all. I've put the first 2 hours out of my mind. We're going to take a short break, just 5 minutes. We're going to be back at 7:45 and we'll see you soon.